And the Lord said to him from that cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That was a momentous day for that thief. It was the day of his own death. It was the day of Jesus' death. And it was the day of his own entrance right into glory. What power is that? What victory is that? That there, when you would think that our Lord Jesus was at his weakest, when he was most vulnerable, when he was least able to help anybody, that he could pronounce to a sinner, "Today." Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. Thank you for joining with us on the program. And of course, today is Easter Friday. I trust the Lord is ministering to your heart and will minister to your heart today through our program as we think of Christ's death upon the cross. I hope that you will be led to consider the one who left heaven's glory, came down into this sin-cursed world, lived a sinless life, died an atoning death, and then rose again that he might redeem his people and justify us freely. This is the hope that is within the heart of every New Testament gospel believer, and I want you to have that hope as well. I truly pray that through these messages, week by week and day by day, the Lord will open hearts and bring you to saving faith in the Lord Jesus. So stay tuned now as we turn to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 27, and the message of the cross. When the Christian Hebrew scholar, a man called Rabinowitz, there's a good Jewish name for you, Rabinowitz, when he came to the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, 10, it says, "They shall look upon him and mourn." He was staggered to discover that in the word "whom," the pronoun for the Messiah, was the Hebrew first and last letters, the Alpha and the Tav. And then in Revelation 1:9, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He was staggered. Some of us who have been reading this Bible for all our lives, we read these things and we fail to get excited. But for some who might be learning this for the first time, this is evidence that Jesus is indeed the Son of God from heaven. Do you recognize the supernatural in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus? This was God's foreordained plan and purpose, that his own Son would die on that cross as the Savior of the world. Do you really get that? If not, you're lost. If not, you have no good news. You have no Savior. And you need to waken up to the reality that this Bible, this revelation from heaven, this amazing book, is all about Jesus. And you need to read it. And you need to accept what this book says about Christ. Now, I move on. We come to the Lord triumphing in the cross by making complete payment for sin. He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And this was after the hours of darkness and after the suffering for sin in our place. Those 3 hours of darkness were over. And if you look at verse 45, you will see the reference to this eclipse at Calvary, where the sun ceased to shine. And it says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And it was during those hour of darkness, those 3 hours, that our Lord paid for sin. Who was he paying? Pilate? No. Was he paying the Roman system? No. There was now a contract between the Father and the Son. And the Son came to be the representative of sinners, you and me. And on that cross, Jesus became the sin bearer. And God, in his righteous judgment, poured wrath upon his own Son. He turned his back on Jesus. The sun ceased to shine. And there in those hours, our Lord Jesus paid it all. Now the darkness lifted. The sun again shone. And we know that because in verse 46, we see here about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway, I want you to look at verse 48 now. And straightway, one of them ran. Now, what does that mean? It means he was no longer in the darkness. You couldn't run in the darkness. But when the darkness lifted and the sun shone, then you can run, because the judgment is over. It's gone. And down in verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. My point is that he did not die in the judgment. He did not die of the judgment. He went through the judgment, finished the payment. The load was lifted. The light began to shine. And then Jesus gave up the ghost, or his spirit. And at that very moment, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And it was in that hour that the victory was won, the price was paid, and the way back to God is opened up. And you may now come to God. There is a way to the Father through the death of the Lord Jesus. He has opened up that way for us. And so you might be asking the question, did he succeed? Was our Lord Jesus successful in his death? Absolutely. Because he made full and complete payment for sin. And so sinners may draw near and come believing and receiving the grace of God. Think of it. No more hell for me. That's what this means. Never, never, never will a sinner who puts his trust in the finished work of Christ at the cross ever taste a drop of the judgment of hell, because Jesus drank it all. The cup of wrath is empty, and you are delivered. Now, if you come to Christ, give him your heart, trust in his finished work at the cross, your sins are gone, and you are free to worship God through the way of the cross. Now, you ask me, what other evidences are there of victory at the cross? Well, let's think about this. What about the people who were saved on the day, even while our Lord was nailed to that cross? And we know, of course, of the dying thief. He who had before blasphemed and cursed the name of the Lord, but somewhere the light came on, and he recognized that this truly is the Savior. And he confessed Christ, and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said to him from that cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That was a momentous day for that thief. It was the day of his own death. It was the day of Jesus' death. And it was the day of his own entrance right into glory. What power is that? What victory is that? That there, when you would think that our Lord Jesus was at his weakest, when he was most vulnerable, when he was least able to help anybody, that he could pronounce to a sinner, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so even there he was in command, and even there he had all power in heaven and in earth. If you look at Matthew 27:54, you will read of another man who was converted that day, maybe after Jesus gave up his spirit. In verse 54, we read about the centurion. Now, he was the man who was commissioned to oversee the crucifixion. And he had under him soldiers and guards and helpers to oversee the crucifixion. They are the ones who took the hammer and nailed the nails into the hands and into the feet of Jesus. They are the ones who dug the hole in the rock and lifted up that Roman gibbet and put it into its socket with Jesus on that very cross. They are the people who are perhaps personally, most directly guilty of the blood of Jesus. Now, there were many others. You may have noticed in our Bible reading that the Jews said, his blood be upon us. But the Roman soldiers, the centurion, the one who gave the orders and oversaw every detail, here he is in verse 54, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. There's a confession I wish you would make. And while you may be a blasphemer and an evil worker, if you repent and see your error and your sin and just confess, truly, this was the Son of God. What power is in Christ even on that cross, that those around him would come to recognize their own sin and confess it. Are you convinced? Does this speak to your soul? Don't you have responsibility to answer? We read those words of Pilate, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? There on the cross, he won the victory. But maybe today you're running from it. You're hiding from the power that comes from Calvary because you will not trust, you will not confess the Lord Jesus as your very own Savior. I have a little note in here. It says, check the time. Skip point four if there's no time. But it's not 5 o'clock yet. I have another reason why the Lord Jesus won the victory at the cross. Because he empowered believers to honor him.
if all these men and women who had counted the crucifixion of Jesus as a defeat, they would have walked away in defeat. But many didn't. I talked already about Joseph of Arimathea. Now, the thing that I noticed is that he didn't step up until Christ was dead. That would seem a bit late, doesn't it? That would seem to be a latecomer, someone who comes at the very 11th hour when it's all over. Where were you, Joseph, before? But now, whatever it is that has stirred his heart, whatever it is that has brought to him to this personal readiness to go to Pilate and plead the body of Jesus, and to personally see that it is embalmed and wrapped, placed into his own tomb. You see, the death of Christ empowered Joseph. It empowered Nicodemus as well. That Nicodemus who firstly came by night, cowardly, for the fear of man. And then there was another interview. He was in the twilight. But now, in full daylight, Nicodemus steps up. He who was a Pharisee, a committed religious Jewish leader. But now his convictions are so strong, his heart is so stirred, that he's ready to step out and be counted as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. We read in John that there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Now, you don't hide that in your pocket. 100-pound weight. What generosity, what openness, what readiness to honor the Lord Jesus. I would that today that the story, the facts of the cross of Christ would stir your heart, and that you would say, I'm going to be a coward no more. I'm going to hide no more. I'm going to be a secret disciple no more. I'm going to step up and be counted for Christ. Will you do it? Are you ready to do it? There's a world waiting to hear the news that Jesus saves. There's a world waiting to hear that the Son of God is come and has paid the price for sin. Will you be a bearer of that cross and its message to the world? In Matthew 28, and we'll come to this on Sunday morning in our resurrection service Sunday morning, we read about the women at the tomb. And here now are women who are stirred by the death of Jesus. They're not defeated. They have come to see the sepulcher, and they are there at first light on that first day of the week. And they are prepared with spices to honor the body of the Lord. So there's the women. In verse 53, back in chapter 27, we read that out of the graves after Jesus' resurrection went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That's the dead who were in the graves. This is amazing. Now, it didn't happen until after Jesus rose. They just suddenly came walking into town. And the undertakers, I buried you last week. You were underground. We can't say 6 feet under, because there many of them were placed in rocks and caves and tombs. But here they come, and they tell the story of their resurrection. What a testimony to the power of the death and again of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But most importantly is the account of the defeat of Satan at the cross. Satan, who hated the cross from the beginning. Satan, who had met with the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and would have crushed him with such a weight of the curse of sin that Jesus' sweat drops as of blood. Such was the pressures, and all to prevent his going to the cross. And there on that tree, Jesus as victor spoiled principality and power. You read the book of Colossians, you'll get the information. You read how on that cross, the very kingdom of darkness came with all their imps and all their brats of hell, and they attacked the Lord Jesus. But there he conquered the kingdom of darkness. And he is now the one who translates men and women out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Has he translated you? Are you one of those who has been brought out of the grip and the chains of Satan, and you are now set free? For how many did Jesus do this? For all who come. For all whom the Father has given him. For all whom he died on that cross. And Jesus promised that he will lose none. He will raise them up at the last day. That's victory. That's assurance. That's triumph. That's defeat for the devil, but it is blessed hope for everyone that puts their trust in the Redeemer's work at the cross. And of course, on this Easter Friday, as we remember these great events, and as we think of all that our Savior in our place accomplished at that cross, it is the call to you to join the band of Christians in this world who truly rest in this truth. Believe it, confess it, and live it. That's what the Lord wants you to do. To be a Christian, that means a Christ one. Renounce the world. Renounce every gimmick and every false way, and just come as a sinner, take your place at the foot of the cross, and you simply say, simply to the cross I cling. Nothing in my hand I bring. You come empty, and you receive the fullness of the victory and the blessing through the Lord Jesus. The cross then becomes our boast. The Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here is a little verse on the theme, it is finished. Between two thieves, one either side, the Lord of life was crucified. Men marveled at a sight so rare, and sitting down, they watched him there. And none that saw could understand why darkness covered all the land. And none who heard that cry, I thirst, knew why the sinless one was cursed, nor understand these words so true. Father, they know not what they do, for God alone and none beside knew what was done when Jesus died. But ever since that blood-stained day, the eyes of men that turned away and own that life itself were loss without the glory of that cross. Are your eyes turned to the cross? That's what this church is about. That's what this special service is all about. To turn your eyes to the cross, that you might be saved and be washed in the blood of Jesus. I have done my work, I can preach no more. But you must fulfill the rest of this sermon. You must come and put your trust in Christ. Will you do that? Do it now. Do it today. Do it before you sleep tonight. Give your life totally to the one who paid it all on that cross. That is the best step you can ever take. And praise God, He will save you now.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I trust that on this Good Friday, the Lord has brought you to understand the benefits, the blessings of the cross work of the Lord Jesus. Christ died on that cruel cross to purchase redemption for His people, and He bids us to look unto Him, to put our trust in His perfect work. He cried out, "It is finished. There is nothing more to be done for man's redemption." And when you come as a sinner to the cross and you plead the power of that death of the Lord Jesus, you must come with the conviction that it is enough that Jesus died and that He died for you, that He had your very heart in mind when He cried out, "It is finished." And so you must come, as the Bible calls us, to believe, to trust, to rest your whole soul's eternal salvation upon that one complete work of atonement when Jesus offered up Himself as a sacrifice for sin. If I can be of personal help to you in your desire to know the way of God's salvation, then please give us a call. We look forward to hearing from you and to know that you have come to faith to trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Well, I hope that you have been blessed today through the message of the gospel. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I want to invite you along to our Easter Friday service here at our church, 4 p.m. on Easter Friday. That's this coming Friday, 4 p.m. here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We have our one-hour service followed by a church fellowship dinner. And this is an invitation to our radio listeners to join us. Perhaps you live a little bit of a distance away, and we'd love to have you, even on this special occasion, to come along, join with us here for our special service and fellowship meal to follow. So that's this coming Friday, 4 p.m. here at our church, and we extend this invitation. Just give us a call, give us an email, let us know you're coming if you're planning to join us with us for the meal. And of course, as ever, we'll be preaching the cross, Christ's death for sinners, God's way of saving sinners, and the message which the Holy Ghost will use to convert sinners. And I trust that you will know the way of salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Now, of course, you can get all these details from our website at www.cloverdalefpc.ca or Let the Bible Speak, just ltbs.ca. And so I trust that you'll continue to join with us at these times, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., also Sundays at 9:30. If you want literature or personal help, send us an email or give us a call at 604-576-1091. May the Lord bless you through His Word.